The Lion by Gav Thorpe. Read by Gareth Armstrong. There is but one reason, and one reason alone, in the exercise of power: to further one's agenda. Be it selfish or altruistic, such agenda should be the whole of one's concern without distraction, if power is to be expended to its benefit. One need only look to the example of the Emperor's Great Crusade for proof of this eternal truth. When distraction came, it was to the ruin of all. Liades, Intermissions, M31. Chapter 1. The Lord of the First Legion sat, as he so often sat these nights, leaning back in his ornate throne of ivory and obsidian. His elbows rested upon the throne's sculpted arms, while his fingers were steepled before his face, just barely touching his lips. Unblinking eyes, the brutal green of Caliban's forests, stared dead ahead, watching the flickering hololith of embattled stars. Aboard the Invincible Reason, flagship of the Dark Angels, Lion L. Johnson thought long and hard. There were many things for him to reason out, yet no matter how hard he tried to stay focused on the military effort to bring the Night Lords to battle, his mind was drawn back to an imponderable dilemma. 82 days had passed since his confrontation with Conrad Kurz on the desolate world of Sagwalza. 82 days had been enough for his body to heal, for the most part, the grievous wounds the Night Haunter's claws had inflicted upon the lion's superhuman flesh. The armor he wore had been repaired and refurbished and repainted, so that not a mark of Kurz's violence showed upon its ebon surface. On the outside, the lion was fully recovered, but within lay the most hideous injuries, inflicted not by the Night Haunter's weapons, but by his words. No risk of the fair angels falling. When did you last walk upon the soil of Caliban, O proud one? The tides of the warp influenced communication as much as they did travel, and no sure word had been heard from Caliban for 2 years. In times past, the hateful words of Kurz would have been easy to dismiss. The loyalty of the Dark Angels had been beyond question. They were the First Legion, ever the noblest in the eyes of all. Even when the Lunar Wolves earned great praise and Horus was raised to War Master, no others could claim the title of First Legion. Yet such times seemed a lifetime ago now. Civil war and schism tore apart the Imperium, and the surety of the past was no guarantee of the present or the future. Could the Lion trust that his Legion remained loyal to him? Trust was not a natural state for the Primarch. Was there some deeper purpose to the Night Lord's endless war in the Thramas system? Did Kurz speak the truth and keep the Lion occupied here while agents of Horus swayed the loyalty of the Dark Angels to another cause? Trust had been a scarce commodity for the Lion before Horus's betrayal, and even then he had been taken for a fool. Perturabo had used his status as a brother to trick the Lion, taking control of the devastating war engines of Diamat under the guise of alliance, only to turn those weapons against the servants of the Emperor. The shame of being so manipulated gnawed at the Lion's conscience, and he would never again accept the simple word of his brothers. It was an impossible question, and an impossible predicament. The Lion had pondered the meaning of the Night Haunter's words every night, even as he analyzed the movements and strategy of his foe, trying to get one step ahead of his elusive enemy. The Night Haunter had had no reason to lie. Kurz had been trying to kill his brother as he spoke. Yet they might just be random spite, as had so often spilled from the lips of Conrad Kurz, who had used falsehood as a weapon long before he had turned from the grace of the Emperor. Lies were second nature to the Primarch and came to him as easily as breaths. The Lion despised himself for giving credence to the lie, creating the poison that ate away at his resolve. It was simple enough to vow that Thramas would not be surrendered to the Night Lords. It was another matter entirely to prosecute a war against an enemy determined not to fight. With every night that passed, the prospect of decisive battle lessened, and the desire to return to Caliban and ensure everything was in order strengthened. Yet the Lion could not abandon the war, if only because it might be a return to Caliban that the Night Haunter desired. While these thoughts vexed the Primarch, at the appointed hour, three of his little brothers arrived to brief him on the current situation. The first to enter was Corswain, former champion of the Ninth Order, recently appointed as the Primarch Seneschal. Across the back of his armour, he wore the white pelt of a fanged Calibanite beast, and beneath that hung a white robe, split at the back, its breast adorned with an embroidered wing sword. His helm hung on his belt, revealing a broad face and close-cropped blonde hair. Just behind Corswain came Captain Steenius, commander of the Invincible Reason. His face was a literal mask of flesh, almost immobile due to nerve damage suffered during the Great Crusade. His eyes had been replaced with smoky silver lenses that glittered in the lights of the chamber, as inscrutable as the rest of his expression. The last of the trio was Captain Tregan of the Ninth Order, who had been raised to the position by the Primarch following the debacle at Zagwalsa. The captain's soft brown eyes were at odds with his stern demeanour, his curls of dark brown hair cut to shoulder length and kept from his aquiline face with a band of black enamelled metal. It was Tregan that spoke first.
"The Night Lords refused engagement at Parthag, my liege, but we arrived too late to stop the destruction of the primary orbital station there. The remaining docking facilities cannot cope with anything larger than a frigate, as I suspect was the enemy's intent."
"That's three major docks they have taken out in the past 6 months," said Steenius. "It is clear that they are denying us refitting and resupply stations."
"The question is, why?" said the Lion, stroking his chin. "The Night Lords, cruisers and battle barges require such stations as much as ours. I am forced to conclude that they have abandoned any ambition of claiming Parthak, Questios and Biomir, and seek to hamper our fleet movements for some manoeuvre in the future."
"I would say that it has the hint of desperation, a stellar scorched earth policy," said Steenius.
"We cannot rule out Kurz commanding such attacks simply out of spite," added Corswain. "Perhaps there is no deeper meaning behind these recent attacks, except to exasperate and confuse us."
"Yet that will still be a part of a bigger plan," said the Lion. "For more than 2 years, we have duelled across the stars, and throughout that war the Night Haunter has always been moving towards some end game I have not yet fathomed. I will think on this latest development. What else have you to report?"
"The normal fleet movements and scouting reports are in my latest briefing, my liege," said Tregan. "Nothing out of the ordinary, if there is such a thing."
"There was one report that I found odd, my liege," said Corswain. "A broken astropathic message, barely discernible from the background traffic. It would be unremarkable, except that it contains mention of the Death Guard Legion."
"Mortarion's Legion is in Thramas," the Lion growled and glared at his subordinates. "You think this is not a matter to bring to me immediately?"
"Not the Legion, my liege," said Tregan. "A handful of ships, a few thousand warriors at most. The transmission does not seem to originate from the Thramas Theatre, my liege, but from a system several hundred light-years from Balaam."
"The message fragments also mention a task force from the Iron Hands in the same vicinity," said Corswain. "Some skirmish, I think, unlikely to impact on our conflict here."
"The system? What was it called?" said the Lion.
The Primarch's eyes narrowed with suspicion as he asked the question. Tregan consulted the data slate he held in his hand.
"Perditus, my liege," said the Ninth Order captain. "It's barely inhabited, my liege," added Steenius. "A small mechanicum research facility. Nothing of import."
"You are wrong," said the Lion, standing up. "I know Perditus. I claimed the system for the Emperor, alongside warriors of the Death Guard. What your records do not show, Captain Steenius, is the nature of the research undertaken by the mechanicum there. Perditus was meant to be kept secret, off limits to every legion. But it seems that the Death Guard have other plans."
"Off limits, my liege?"
Tregan was taken aback by the notion.
What could be so dangerous?
Knowledge, my little brother, replied the lion. Knowledge of a technology that cannot be allowed to fall into the hands of the traitors. We must assemble a task force at Balaam. A force that can overwhelm anything the Death Guard or Iron Hands have in the area.
What of the Night Lords, my liege? Asked Corswain. If we relent in our hunt across this sector, or weaken our forces here too much, curs will make fine sport of the systems we cannot protect.
That is a risk I must take, replied the Primarch. Perdiccas is a prize that we must seize from the traitors. I had almost forgotten about it, but now it is brought to mind. I think that perhaps Perdiccas may hold the key to victory in Thramas, too. I shall lead the task force personally. The Invincible Reason will be my flagship, Captain Stenius. The 4th, 6th, 9th, 16th, 17th, and 30th orders are to muster at Balaam.
More than 30,000 warriors, said Tragen, forgetting himself. He bowed his head in apology when the lion directed a sharp glare at him.
When, my liege? Asked Corswain.
As soon as they can, said the lion. He strode towards the door. We cannot afford to arrive too late at Perdiccas.